It happened.
I try to make this democratic. I'll throw a suggestion.
We don't want that. We're asking for a dictatorship, and you're like, nah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
All right, yo, wake up. This is it.
You starting with the new name?
You got to do it. No, just wake up.
Wake
this,
up.
No, I'm not saying wake this is the name.
Oh.
Wake your punk.
With a 92 you're shot.
Rocking, you're rocking with the best right now.
Yeah.
I have an idea. What we gonna, I just want to write it down so I can just mentally be prepared to what to
I'm
look
starting
up.
Right now. We've started this podcast, sir. What are you doing?
Trying to be organized.
Oh, gosh, Dave. First of all, we're glad you're here because knowing you and your fickleness, you
I'm
just.
I'm not fickle, I'm famous. It's a
Well, thank you for showing up. I'm glad you're. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, this is Off the Record. I'm still petitioning for a new name, and I'm not gonna let anybody introduce themselves because y'all already know who's in the building. It's the same folks. It's the crazy. It's the crazy folks that I roll with, from Dan to Adon to Loudmouth David. So
I'm so humble and meek. Don't put me loud.
Let's go. I'm passing the mic. Enough with the introductions. There's a lot to talk about. I'm gonna let Dan kind of lead us from there. What are the topics, Dan?
Yeah, so we have a lot to talk about tonight. We have everything from Black Future Month. Shout out to David. And one day someone's gonna write a book about you, sir, and called Black Future Month.
I'm not calling it Black Future Month. I'm calling it Black. It's always gonna be Black History Month.
Yeah, I thought that was you.
I think I have
ridiculous.
I'll take it.
Don't do that.
We're going to talk the Grammys because they just happened literally 10 minutes ago.
It happened.
We are now recording this in the wake of the Grammys. We're going to talk through all things, who should have won, who shouldn't have won, maybe throw in our own categories for a... Are we going to do a Christian Hip Hop Grammys?
Yeah, we could do that. Hey, you got to keep us abreast on what...
I'm trying.
Yeah, who's winning? Who?
Because Dan is out here acting like it's already happened when it's happening right now. So
haven't they given all the major ones out?
Not the last one. Record of the year is not
record of the year. Album of the year ain't out yet. None of
we
that.
All know who it should be, right?
What record of the year?
Yeah.
Talking about Kendrick, maybe.
I was just trying to see. I was trying to make some.
Hello's
say
probably gonna win that, bro.
Who?
Record of the year?
Who is?
Hello.
Oh.
No, Adele, that's not mine, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's not even up.
I can tell you right now, Taylor Swift's gonna win Taylor Swift. Of the year.
Taylor Swift will probably win Record of the Year as well with Bad Blood or
Blank Space.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we're gonna talk Grammys.
Kanye made her.
And then we're gonna talk Kanye.
It's Kanye's fault, bro.
It is Kanye's fault.
It's Kanye's fault.
Speaking of the man.
Do you wanna talk about Kanye right now? You wanna jump off and talk about Kanye and his gospel album?
He's a Christian now,
ultra light beams, whatever.
They prayed over him.
He was Kirk a Christian Franklin. Back in College Dropout.
Yeah, his album was nominated for a Dove.
Oh, no, it wasn't. Really?
Jesus
really?
Walk. Yeah, Jesus Walk was nominated for Best Christian
Please
Song.
Please tell me he showed up to the Dove Awards.
I don't know. Did he win? I can't remember if he won or not.
I don't think so. I remember, I know there was a lot of like Dove or like, I remember... Holy Hip Hop Awards. I remember a bunch of these things were like trying to award him this, and there was a lot of like CHH and Chris were like, "Yo, we've been in the field laboring, like we protesting that y'all, you know." So like, I don't know what I think. I don't. I think they like rescinded. I don't know if they.
I think I think that may have been the case, but they were definitely his name and his song Jesus Walk was definitely on the nomination ballot.
So when it came out. Who has heard The Life of Pablo?
I have yet to hear it.
I've heard a lot of it. I don't know if I never heard it all the way through.
I don't think I will if he does what he say he gonna do.
Yeah,
he said it ain't. He
ain't putting it on Apple. Listen, man, I love you, Kanye, but
is the physical copies out?
No,
those come out super later nowadays.
Yeah, he dropped it and said, "Hey, I'm still working on the album."
Yeah. Yeah, they said whatever was streamed isn't even the finish.
Yeah, it's not finished.
It might, you know, he might be adding tracks for months. I feel like this would be like one of those unprecedented things where he's just like 6 months from now.
The songs I have heard, I'm feeling, so I will say that. It's definitely not Yeezus.
Feeling from a musical standpoint?
Yeah, well,
or
yeah.
Like lyrically, you think he's rapping?
Some of the songs he's rapping on,
no.
Some.
No. Let me answer that. No, he's not.
Are we still expecting Kanye to rap?
Like, yeah,
rap,
I don't rap? Like, but he wasn't rapping on my Twisted Dark Fantasy.
Any of them.
Oh, I don't know.
There's
man.
A couple songs he was rapping on, but it, like the overall album, it wasn't like blowing. It wasn't like late registration rapping. It wasn't even graduation rapping.
I don't know, man. No, I feel like I disagree. I think he came with bars for my Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Yeah, he came with bars.
Partially because he had just got off doing 808s and all these people were like, yo, he can't rap no more. Yeah. So he was like, I'm gonna come back rapping.
He was like, Ron Fest, get in the booth.
Consequence, where you at?
I need
push
some
it,
fire.
Push
right.
it. But yeah. But
yeah.
I don't know, man. I just know that when I heard it, what I had heard initially outside of Kendrick on No More Parties, I felt like Chance had the best verse on the album, which was saying something, because that's on the first song of the album.
I haven't heard more than three.
I've heard the No Parties, and then I saw the performance, SNL performance. Can't even call it a Kanye performance. He was just kind of there.
Yeah, he letting just other people did some terrible singing,
and then Chance. Shout out! I mean, I messed with Chance low key.
It's funny how he was like the Kirk Franklin hip hop on his own song. Like he was just kind of
directing. Yeah, he was, and then brought out Kirk Franklin to out Kirk Franklin him on his own track.
Say Kirk me.
As Kirk's, I lay here, behind the drink. Yeah,
Kirk's are gonna be they gonna be Kirk's.
That was super awkward.
Yeah, Chance was
really, really weird. I didn't know what to do with that.
Did he just pass the torch to Chance? Like I'm done here, or like it was awkward.
It was.
And I don't want to, like, I think Chance.
That choir was getting it, though.
Was that Farnsworth leading the choir?
Oh, right. Yeah,
I was looking at him like, he ain't wearing no colors to be Farnsworth. That's the first thing I thought.
You ain't seen no parasol.
I didn't see no parasol. I didn't see no bow tie. I was like, nah, he ain't going to come out looking just like everybody else.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't believe it. But I'm glad, okay, because I did not think that was Farnsworth.
So if Kanye show calls you and says, hey, I want you to come pray over me for Yeezus Season 3.
Like, you're talking about, like, at a...
No, like Kirk Franklin.
I wouldn't have done it.
You wouldn't have done it.
No.
Why?
So for me, there's two paradigms I work with. Like, I'll work with people. Like I would definitely do a song with him, without question. If he was like, "Show, do a song," yes. So if you would have asked me to rap on that song, absolutely, I'm rapping on the song. If he asked me to. The only reason why...
He wants you to bless what happened on that song. Will you do that?
So that's the difference between, I think, what Kirk is doing, which is, I think, to
getting
some
money.
Degree...
That's what Kirk is doing.
I'm not criticizing what Kirk did either. Let's be clear. I would say Kirk had every... Like, even what he said, I don't have any problem with what he said. I think what he said is as evangelical as you can get.
Absolutely.
Right?
Like,
so,
unassailable.
Exactly.
Like, honestly.
He made sure he said, I'm going to say Jesus.
Yes.
I'm going to say Jesus maybe four or five times.
Just so y'all know. Look, I know said, y'all make you, weird.
Exactly. He said,
I know y'all see me in SNL. Y'all don't like this. I'm going to say Jesus many times. So y'all get off my back and still buy this album. Okay? Jesus.
Exactly.
Jesus.
But I think for me, what I would understand, what I would see is more so, and this is me being very, this is where my extreme conservatism comes out in the sense of Christianity, is that I still hold Christianity and the church and faith in a very high regard,
which I appreciate.
No, and what I'm saying, like, I don't approach God in any kind of way. I don't think you should play around with the presence of the Lord. I don't, like, you know, I think the whole temple was something very serious, and God makes his presence something very serious.
Sure.
Though I do feel like he has given us, as the scripture, the veil has been torn, so it's no longer as...
trying to preach.
Yeah, it's no longer as...
preach every now and then.
As,
on the Lord.
Well, I was saying, so I think the casual individual has given the right to approach God without feeling like I have to go through this ritual. And so I would say what I saw on SNL was more of a... It just seemed like it was more of a, and I hate to use this word because it just seemed, I don't want to demean Kanye nor Kirk's approach, but I just say it was more of a debacle. Or not debacle, I'm sorry, spectacle was the word I was thinking. The spectacle.
Those are two different words, brother. I'm glad you
did. I'm sorry. The spectacle. It was more of a spectacle in which it was a performance, and that's what performances are. Like, you want to make sure that it's memorable. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure that people are like, yo, that was dope. It was fresh. But, and that's why even sometimes I'm there's a little trepidation when I see choirs perform with
bruh,
on mainstream songs.
Ever since Puffy signed Hezekiah Walker.
They do.
Ever since Puffy signed Hezekiah Walker, I was oh no, I can't do this no more.
Exactly.
Everybody just had this choir out here singing 8 Mile with Eminem. It's all bad.
Because Nick Jonas, his joint, he had a joint with Jealous.
Killing it.
Amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I feel a certain type of way when I see that. I'm like, oh, this is so dope. And so anyway, I'm indifferent. So I say all that to say that I'm indifferent.
At the same time, this is small, but I just feel some type of way. They've got choir competitions, which
I
feel like that automatically delegitimizes
exactly
that as a so that moves that into a performance
exactly
thing, like a performative thing.
So I've been on the record for years, kind of sharing my disdain for like Christian competition. In the fact of rewarding Christians for their acts of service to the Lord, so that whether that be top tens, award shows, like I don't think there's any place for it within the Christian realm. But all that to say,
you don't think so?
I don't. I just don't. I don't find it. I didn't participate in any when I was nominated for Doves. I didn't participate in it.
I get where you're coming from. I just feel like.
You
know what I mean?
I don't hate anybody who does though. That's the other thing.
I'm not saying you are. Right. I think my thing is like, I feel like a lot of times in Christian culture, like competition is kind of like.
No, my thing is competition within the context of the world. Kill it. Go out there and knock somebody out.
Be great.
Like Ray Lewis. Be Ray Lewis out there. Yeah. Knock somebody's head off and preach later.
Right.
But like if it's solely in the context of we're rewarding a ministry versus another ministry.
Yeah, no. Okay.
Like, that's problematic to me, right?
Only if you don't win.
And it also, but this is my other thing, I think, true.
Yeah, you know, like, kind of joking, but also kind of true. It's just.
But this is the other thing. I think Christian competition, it encourages Christian utopianism. Creates ghettoism. So it's like, well, because we're not good enough to succeed in the world, we'll create our own thing and create our own competitions. And this way we can be subpar, but yet and still be rewarded for our mediocrity. And so that's where I beef also, because I think it creates a culture of mediocrity.
All I heard, all I heard when you're doing that is that whole like when Gabrielle Union was explaining why there's a BET Awards and why there's a, you know, the Alma Awards or whatever. Because if like you're not represented elsewhere, you create your own awards. And I'm like, does that, are these things parallel or...
Absolutely not, because I think
only reason I say that because especially when you said we're creating mediocre art, you know what I mean? Like it's a run to create mediocre art, and I'm like, yeah, that's what a BET Blockbuster is. It's just, you know what I mean? So it's is this the same thing?
We're not gonna sit here in front like we recognize that the Oscars is extremely white. Like it's
right.
It's a problem, but we're not gonna sit here and act like
we don't make good stuff.
We don't make good stuff, but we're not going to also... I was going to say something opposite. We're not going to act like...
Everything
black folks... Like, are the equivalent of the black... The Oscars... The black Oscars is the equivalent as for a standard in performance. Like, it's not. Like, even the production value of NAACP Image Awards is, like, just like...
I got you.
You know, but our movies are good. Like, you know what I'm saying? But if we had the opportunity to make more... movies and independent films, if we had the budget. And the problem is the reason why we have those is because not only do we not have the opportunity, but even within our own circles, we don't have enough budget and resources to produce great stuff at the equivalence of our counterparts. You know what I'm saying? That makes sense.
I was just thinking about that when you said
did we even like, are we, what happened? I think we were talking about
Kanye. Yeah, that's what I said. We got sidetracked. My bad. I just let that happen.
What happened? But anyway, I don't. What do you guys think about
Kanye?
This is why.
All right. I hope he doesn't do what he said he's gonna do with Tidal. I hope he doesn't make me get Tidal. Because I don't want to do it.
I don't want to do it either.
I don't want
to
do
it. But I may do it. That's how much of a Kanye fan I am. Just to check it out.
But why don't you want to get Tidal, Dave?
That's a problem in itself. This is some self-hate right here.
It's not self-hate. I understand that I should get Tidal. I understand the importance of Tidal. I just, listen, like I said earlier, it's easier because it's all Apple's easier. They made my life easier. I don't want, they don't ask much of me.
Do you have Spotify? You have Spotify?
The free, I don't even like using that. Uh-huh. I download albums. I still do that. That's me.
No, I got
you. I don't want to get your what is it? You're supposed to hear it better for $20 a month in this regular version. Jay-Z, what are you doing? Why are you doing this to me? Why are you making things difficult? I know you want to give the money to the artist. I get that. As an artist, I understand that. Just don't get mad at me if I just want a very simple version that I can just click real quick and I'm done. I just want to be done. Kanye, why are you making this hard? Why are you making it so hard for me to love you? I didn't ask for this.
Kanye also said he has like 40 songs, obviously he's over there, but like 40 songs with Kendrick and 40 songs with Young Thug that like he's just gonna put out through Tidal as well. Like, he's just saying a bunch of songs
with Kendrick and Young Thug.
Yeah, a lot of songs
with Young Thug. Keep those.
Yeah, that's like a interesting dynamic. Like, hey, I've got a lot of songs with Kendrick for some audiences, and then I have a lot of songs with Young Thug for some people.
There's audiences for both of them.
Yeah, he's not even just gonna release the Good Friday. He gonna release the Good Friday tracks on Tidal too.
Yeah, man,
those are supposed to be for everybody. Why are you doing this?
Good Friday was for everybody, bro.
Good Friday's for everybody. He's like, no, I'm only gonna put these on this thing that nobody has.
Good Friday, come on, man.
Yo, man, Kanye going off the deep end. I'll say it. And I love Kanye West.
I love that's what convinced you that Kanye is going off the deep end.
Like, that's fine. I don't care what your beef is.
This brother talking about he owes kids.
I don't care what your beef is with Wiz. I don't care what your beef or what you do with Amber Rose. I don't care about none of that. Why is Good Friday?
Stop withholding your music from us, Kanye.
Yeah, you've lost me now.
Anyway, what else, man? What else? Other than Kanye. So how did y'all feel about the performance on SNL, though?
The first one was a train wreck. Mm-hmm. It was a train wreck.
I only saw one. I only saw the one with the...
Yeah.
Oh, that was the second one.
Okay.
That was the better one.
Okay.
The first one was a train wreck. Young Thug was in it. It was... Dream was in that one, too, I think. I can't remember what song it was, now that I think about it. But it's one of the earlier songs on the Life of Pablo or whatever. But, it wasn't good. Like, it wasn't... I just felt like it was what I said before repeatedly. It was a train wreck. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the rest of it was...
Was it a train wreck?
I don't know. Maybe. I think it was probably a train wreck. I feel like the second... the song, Ultralight Beams, like, it's dope. Like, it's... Like, of the songs that I've heard from the project, it's one of them that would make the cut. There's a lot of those that I would feel like I really wouldn't care about, honestly. So, yeah. But again, I just feel like Chance has the best verse. Like,
it's so hard for me to like Chance.
Really?
Because he sounds like Harold from Hey Arnold.
Yeah.
Doesn't he? Is it just me?
I've never thought about that.
I've thought about it extensively.
I think I was too old to get into the Hey Arnold.
When you just listen to, look at the chubby kid with the blue shirt, and it's him. It's him. I'm like, why do you sound like that?
Chances, he's hit or miss with me as well.
Sometimes. And then I realized too, because I liked Acid Rap, right? Mm-hmm. I liked that. And then my favorite verse on Acid Rap that I always attributed to Chance, it wasn't even Chance.
It was Vic Mensa. Who's a beast too.
And I was like, and I went to listen to him, I was like, oh yeah, I can do it. Like, y'all are the same, but he does more of what I like. And he don't exactly sound like Aaron from, I don't know. It's just the Kanye performance was just like,
I just know I felt awkward when Kanye got on the ground.
What was it?
And then he jumped up.
It's
like, that's when it was like, I was like, you're respectful.
Okay, this is real talk. Has he like for real lost it? Cause like there's the Rhyme Fest thing saying he's lost it. Now he's asking billionaires for millions, like money to to do stuff. His tweets are like,
wait, I missed this angel investment.
he was like, hey, dear Mark Zuckerberg, I know it's your birthday, but please give me a call by 3. I have millions of dollars I need you to give me
money so I can
fund my ideas.
Yeah, he's like, I know y'all listening to me over there on Facebook at the headquarters. You owe me. Like, you owe hip hop. He's like,
oh my God.
I'm overcharging brothers for what they did to the gold crush.
Man, that's how I approach every negotiation, brother. I promise you. I'm about to start putting it in my signature. Like in my email signature.
Hey, for real though.
Like,
I won't say that's been my motto, but it's close to it.
Hey, off the record, off this record, I will tell you some stories, bro.
Okay, well, there you go.
It's real.
Like, so, this last thing of tweets, like, he just, have you seen these in the last like 4 hours?
I haven't. No, because he's been tweeting for like the last 12 hours. Like, no one's got time for that.
He just, I'm troubled now. And I feel like everybody's like, you're like, you're saying like, why now?
I think he's the quintessential rock star. Like, he's that dude that just But other than like drugs is not his demise. It's himself. It's his ego. It's social media. Like the need for him to hear himself is his addiction. And so we're watching him
feed like, his addiction.
Exactly. Other than like watching some rock stars in the 60s and 70s just get high off of heroin or marijuana and just.
If he wasn't crazy, do you think that we would approach his music differently? Like,
he's always been somewhat interesting. So
yeah.
Eccentric, even when like, you know, I just think fame brings out that it just exposes what's really in your heart. Right. Platform and money, because now you feel like I have no peers. There's no one who can tell me what is wrong or right. And if Rhymefest is true that all he has is yes men around him, then why should I listen to anybody?
Well, it's obvious he only has yes men. Have you seen his clothes that he's putting out? Hmm. Like someone is telling him that these are quality pieces of fashion. It should be going out. Well, and I'm not problem, like the though, biggest
but,
fashion head.
But think like, about this. Like his shoes are amazing. They sell. So why not think that if I can do this with shoes,
yeah,
then why wouldn't somebody buy these ugly jackets?
But that's the thing. If you, I'm not into fashion, but I've seen some stuff.
I don't really know.
But like you'll see some stuff like who would wear that? And like they get it made. So like why can't Kanye make some stuff that looks like you found out of a garbage can? Like why can't he?
That little fashion show situation, I was like, this. What was that? I was like.
Yeah. You talking about the Madison Square Garden thing?
Yeah.
But see, that was amazing.
Fact that he did it was amazing. The fact that I don't know about the clothing. I'm looking at like a bunch of folks look like they just came off Sesame Street. Like, yeah. I just didn't.
But like, I mean, I can't. I guess because I don't know enough about it. For far as fashion is concerned, do what you're going to do.
Right.
Because everything I've ever seen with people walking on the runway with like peacock feathers and like weird colors and stuff, I'm like, all right, fine. I don't get that. Like, if Kanye wants to do that, do it, you know? Right. But to do it in Madison Square Garden, to bring out Lamar Odom, like...
He brought out Lamar.
He brought Lamar Odom. Right? Come on, man. I can't hate on that.
Well, I don't know.
Just stop. Don't put it on title, man. I'll never hear it. Like, that's really my frustration. Somebody tweet me the link. That's what I'm saying. Somebody tweet me the
you
link.
You still got to have an account to listen to, man, it when they tweet the on, link, man. Bro.
Somebody tweet me the link.
I'm like, holla at me in the DM.
Yeah, holla at me. Yeah.
Title is the worst. iTunes, though, or Apple Music, whatever it is, it's a close second. Hmm. Spotify is by far the best platform.
Spotify is the best. I would say it's the best only because it was the first. Like, Rhapsody was before. But I'm saying it was the first at what it did, and it does it very well. And so anything that comes after is like, you know, I'm used to this particular infrastructure, this setup, this format. I'm used to searching this way. And then the code of Tidal, because I had Tidal for about 4 months.
Okay.
And I was just like, it's cool. I mean, yeah. I'm just so used to Spotify.
Okay.
So that's the only reason why I stopped.
Gotcha.
Not because it was, and then Spotify had more albums too. Yeah. You know, more options. But the video situation was dope on Tidal.
That's the thing. I think like if Jay-Z is able to finagle Kanye and Beyonce to put exclusive content on Tidal,
he's gonna force people to move.
Yeah, man. He might. He
it's
might
on YouTube. Somewhere. Minutes later.
But Kanye isn't. And it hasn't been for a very, like, for like 24 hours, 20, 36 hours. Like,
I guess that's true.
You understand what I'm saying? Like, I understand the theory of it, though, that, like, ultimately, all of this, nothing becomes exclusive. You can always get to it some way. But the thing about it is, and this is what cut down on illegal downloading is, if you make it available, if you make downloading, like accessible for people, they have no problem paying for it, right? The problem with like the late, like 2009, 2010, that time when like in 2007 and stuff, it was the illegal download was the problem because it was like, yo, this is like, it's hard to get to some of this stuff or whatever. I'm saying all this to say that the hoops that you have to go through to get even the Life of Pablo right now, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, it just makes it, it forces people to say like, well, let me try the legal way to do this or whatever. Right.
And plus, I don't like listening to music on YouTube.
Like, that's not you. Yeah,
I'm not a big.
You're not gonna pay for YouTube Red? Is that what that thing
is
called?
I saw that and I was like, what is?
Yeah, like,
dude,
this?
You could get an ad blocker. And get rid of all that.
Yeah,
let me get Ghost
I saw that. I was like, YouTube, why you being brand new? How you acting like? Come on now. Oh my God. A good thing going.
Man, what y'all think about Kendrick at the Grammys? We still don't know what
I caught the Holy Ghost at the end, bro.
You did. You dropped everything in your hand.
I dropped my iPad. That's how serious it was. I forgot it. I had it in my hand when I saw Mother Africa with Compton in there.
Compton in the middle.
I was like, what in the world? The Spirit of the Lord touched me for a second.
I think it's just, it's a long string of things that are happening in mainstream culture that are just the blackest thing ever. And like, I'm enjoying watching people react to it.
Absolutely.
Because I know how I feel about it. I'm
Nobody in that crowd knew what to
do. Nobody knows what to
do. They came out in the chain gang. They was like, what is
I can't clap at this, right?
Why are they making this? Why are they doing this to us? That's what you said. You said,
like, it is a long stride. This is I've never, like, I don't know what world we're in right now.
Unprecedented peak blackness.
This is peak blackness is happening. And
this,
like,
is what, this is how it felt in the '70s, bro.
No,
this,
it didn't.
There had to be. This is what it had to be.
Because it
had to be this.
Here's why. Because this,
to see Carlos Smith and Carlos and Tommy put the black fist up at the Olympics, and then
okay, album of the year goes to Taylor Swift.
You serious?
That's what.
And now we riot. We gotta look, cut this mic. We gotta hit the street. You can't put Compton in the middle of Africa and then not win out for the year. Oh no. This is no, we gotta,
I'm following you, bro.
Yo, we gotta,
I'm following you. Where we going first?
We going straight to Taylor's house. We going to Nashville. Don't you live in Nashville? We burning down Nashville.
There we go. I'm down for that. It. Enough of burning up our own neighborhoods.
Let's bad burn down. Like who? Oh my goodness.
Kendrick's in Bad Blood.
Yeah, that was his fault.
But that's you said album, not record, right?
I said what's album of the year.
Oh.
Come on.
But the really? Album is the one you really want, though.
I know. That's
yeah,
what
yeah.
I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
What?
But that's, yeah, but I'm not shocked at all. They had to give, it's Taylor Swift.
So what?
Taylor Swift is almost the, she's single-handedly.
Where was Kanye when we needed him?
Yeah, right.
That was the time Kanye said, no disrespect again, Taylor, but... Kendrick Lamar had one of the greatest albums of all time. Kanye don't pop up when we need him.
He's too busy tweeting Mark Zuckerberg right now, bro.
I can't believe she won. Like, I'm really, I am like, I just saw Africa, I saw Compton Miller Africa on TV, on CBS. On CBS. Yes. They don't have no black people ever. And they put it right there, and then I got to go back. Got me again.
Does it help you to know that Taylor Swift is the first woman to win Grammy's Album of the Year more than once?
No.
Okay.
Because Beyonce should already did that.
Oh, okay.
And maybe Whitney or Janet.
And maybe, yeah.
Nah.
No?
Mm-mm.
Whitney Houston?
No.
Shouldn't have.
Not saying shouldn't. I'm telling you that they did.
Oh, I know that. You just
saying should've.
You just clarified that they didn't. Yeah, what I'm saying is like.
But you guys said it like, no. I think, no.
No. Whitney. I didn't say it. I was saying it like this. That should have happened before.
Oh.
I'm what sure. Two Whitney even Mariah. Albums. You would think that Mariah would have done it too.
What two Whitney albums, though?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's my thing.
What's the name?
That's my thing, though.
The movie album.
Bodyguard soundtrack.
For sure. And I Want to Dance with Somebody.
Nope. All album. Right. Now that you say
that. That album was amazing, if you think about it.
Not saying it wasn't, but no. That just,
I just remember my parents playing that album all the time.
Okay.
In your household, they should have won.
I remember Janet and Whitney going at it. I think that was a, because I remember that was when I first started really paying attention to like award shows. But anyway, we're neither here nor there.
I mean, you know, listen,
Dan, how do you feel about this? When you saw Compton, when you saw Africa and Compton, look at him. He's like,
Yeah. Let's just get on to this. Like we said, this peak black. Like, can we just? It's this.
It's not surprising, to be honest with you. I mean, it's. It makes sense. It, like, I knew that there would be some. It's very like,
yeah,
these statements are going to be made at every juncture. I'm sure there'll be, Chris Rock will make a statement moment at the Oscars. And I think it's a good thing. I mean, I don't hear me say that I think it's a negative thing, but to say that it's like shocking that he would like have this moment on stage at the Academy Awards, or not Academy, the Grammys.
The Africa Compton is huge.
Why?
Well, mainly because the prison performance.
Mm-hmm.
Typical, mm-hmm. Right? I think that's because, for one, I think that's what people are used to seeing. I guess you can say a portrait of African Americans portrayed, whether in film, music, especially hip hop. They glorify this kind of like this jail prison mentality. You get guys who come from these type of backgrounds who become artists. So the reforming of that image, I don't think it was as powerful as the next two images, which you saw, which the second imaging was somewhat similar to, in a sense that it's not that profound to see kind of like African indigenous dance.
Yeah.
But see, he broke free from prison to go exactly. to Africa.
But no, that's what I'm saying. But then to merge those two worlds, in a sense, like Compton, Africa, and then to have that image of Africa saying, like, hey, like we
what
are... Is,
what does that image mean to you? When you see that, what does it mean?
I would say that it's one, is just that we are a... He's communicating we are a powerful people. We are a people with a history that... That's, and our history is not prison. Our history is not like our image and our identity is not in prison, as to kind of like see the progression in the move from prison to, I guess you could say, to Africa, and to say, hey, Africa is, I mean, Compton is Africa. Our identity is, as a people, comes from somewhere that's very special and strong and pertinent. And let's not let other people tell our story and our narrative. And that's what I was like. And it is a show that, like he said, on CBS, on this big screen, to me, is very powerful, because nobody wants to view Africa as a powerful place. And it's almost like we have to redeem it, because it has been, anytime you talk about Africa, you show villages. We don't show the cities. We don't show the established. We don't show the money. And we always... We talk about the corruptions. We talk about the dictatorships.
And so maybe that's why what didn't really hit me, because I was like, I'm inundated with the poor starving kid in Africa. And so, but I think the way you said that, of like, it feels very similar to how, like, when I look at Scotland, like that is like very much part of where I get my pride and identity from. And so to hear you say that, it's very interesting. I think it's cool. Again, I want to know what correlation it has to reality. Because you have Beyonce doing...
Who's my new hero, by the way?
Beyonce, slay.
But these are the two. These are the two forerunners of, like, we are going to have these moments of black power. Black is beautiful.
Absolutely, yeah.
So what does it mean for reality? And real change and real things. Is it just show? And is it two people that have gained a lot of notoriety? And so white America, mass culture has really can't do anything but accept it in the moment. But in reality, it changes nothing. Or is it a true, like, indicator of change that is happening?
I have a lot to say, but I think these brothers, I'll let them talk. Because I do, I think there is some, there's some answers to your question.
Oh, we're pointing at me.
Yeah.
I think that, to answer your question, I'm not exactly sure what angle to come at it from, but I would just say that, like, for me, I'll speak to that. I think that it's a little pejorative to just label it, even as an option, as just show, right? Because I think that that there's power in representation, and there's power in the optics and the visibility of someone who has such a handle and a grip and a pulse on pop culture and America as a whole, that Beyonce has held for, let's say, 10 years at this point, right? And so then to have this person, and what happens often with our black stars is that they reach a level of superstardom to where they are stripped of whatever was blackness in them to begin with, right? So they become this universal embodiment that everyone can hold to, right? And so Michael Jackson became this, to where you got messages like black or white, right? And it just was like, oh, like, it's fine, like, he's all of ours, right? And there's something that we can all kind of feed into with that. That's great, right? I think, I don't want to get on this, you know, this off ramp, but I think partially what you see with Cosby is also this too, is that Cosby wasn't just Black America's dad, he was America's dad. He was on TV Guide as, like, I'm everyone's, like, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like Donald Miller, when he starts his book, How to Trap a Dragon or something like that, he starts by saying, my first father was Bill Cosby, right? So I'm saying this to say that Beyonce, who's this uber star, who has been this uber star for so long, for her to take this time and this moment to then assert her her, not just like blackness, but just so like her southern black roots, the Creole, the Louisiana and the Texas and all of these things that came out in this visual performance that happened with the optics of the video, as well as, of course, what you saw at the Super Bowl, where you have this homage in Oakland to the Black Panther Party, right? And them formations of X's while she's wearing a garb that is like Michael Jackson, what he wore years before in the Super Bowl. Like, I think there was all these like doubling downs of essentially blackness, right? And I think even the twang in which that she sang a lot of those notes and those things spoke to just a level of, I'm going to embrace a dialect. I'm going to embrace, like, I'm not going, this is not going to be pretty. This isn't going to be, you know, this isn't going to be Whitney Houston singing the Star Spangled Banner. This is going to be like me talking in a tone that if you get it, you get it. If you don't, it doesn't matter, because I'm not making this. If you have to be a voyeur while I'm doing this, you have to be a voyeur. But I'm going to make you a voyeur while I'm communicating this message. And so all of that, I think, is super powerful for not just black people in particular. I won't even take it on as a black man, but I think as black women who are often relegated to sections of invisibility in the United States and in our society, for them to see themselves, which is why I always talk about the idea to say that, like, I don't love a bunch of Beyonce's music, but I'm not the dude who gets out there talking bad about women who love Beyonce's music, black women who love Beyonce, because I'm like, it's not my point. Like, if this is something that they can hold on to and they can like feel a level of confidence and pride into, like, what type of like.
And most people who don't like Beyonce's music, they have no real logical reason to like dislike it, other than the fact that they just don't like Beyonce.
I mean, I won't actually go. I think some people actually don't like her sound or whatever. That's fine. But I'm just saying, like, as dudes who jump in, I feel the same way about women who complain about men who like sports. Like, like, why are you jumping on the timeline and talk about a dude? Like, if the guy gets pleasure out of sports, just let him have this thing that he enjoys, right?
Yeah.
So I feel that way about dudes, particularly dudes who jump in and like, yo, it's corny, all these women talking about. Like, shut up. Like, this is something that they enjoy. So on those levels is why I feel like, just from an aesthetic thing, I think that it actually communicates really strong, powerful things, much like my favorite image, and I'll just connect this and then stop, but much like my favorite image of the Obama presidency is when he's in that office and there's that little boy who asks to touch his hair, and Obama bends down and the boy rubs his hair because he's like, yo, your hair is like mine. And I think that that's super strong for that little kid who's maybe like 8 years old to be like, yo, I'm in the most powerful room in the United States of America, and the person in the world, right? And the person who inhabits this has the same hair like mine, right? So those are the things that make me think that it's not just something that's, you know, for show. I think that it's really important, and that the levels of structural and change that we'll see might not be able to be quantified by something to say like, oh, we're going to introduce a policy out of this. You know what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
Absolutely.
When I saw it, I thought, the first thing I thought was how important black history is now. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I say that is because of the people who wanted to protest, right? And they wanted to protest Beyonce because of, they were saying, you know, this anti-police, or they want to protest Beyonce because she's glorifying the Black Panthers,
This hate group.
And I remember thinking, like, this is why you need black history.
Exactly.
We need black history, but we have to reach a point where it merges with American history. Because if you truly understand what the Black Panthers are, they're not that far from your Minutemen, or they're not that far from the founding fathers. Like, they're like, we don't like the way this system is. We're going to arm ourselves. We're going to do what we need to do, and we're going to stand against this oppressive system. Right?
Absolutely.
So it's not different from the things that everybody in American history will champion. So when I saw people back, I was like, oh, you don't know your history. And this Black Panther is a part of your history, and you can't reject it, because once you really understand it and see what it is, you'll see the parallels, and you should embrace it and say, this is a part of American history, which is the only reason why black history exists, because most people never felt like it was a part of American history. So it's like, yeah, they're, I don't know, it just, for me, it spoke to the necessity of black history. And then at some point, I think what Beyonce has the capability of doing is progressing it to being a part of American history. You know what I mean? And it, I don't think there's necessarily anything
well,
wrong
I would
with
say, I don't know. Well, yeah, potentially. Yeah, I definitely say potentially
like,
to be in
the
part of America.
Line, but you see what I'm saying?
But I think what she's done and what Kendrick is doing and other artists in the same thread is they're getting the people who are their fans to do proper research on these particular topics and mm-hmm. issues so that when I do have the conversation with the people who are ignorant, and I mean ignorant in its real sense, like they have no knowledge of the of this particular topic, that they're able to give them information about who the Black Panther Party is, right? now, yes, the Black Panther Party had many, many problems inwardly, and they had problems that stemmed from the government, COINTELPRO, that tried to intentionally dismantle them.
Right.
But... and succeeded, right? And there's so, yeah, there's a lot of, but that doesn't, I mean, every organization has its problems, right? And every organization can be ostracized and castigated to its finest thread and say, yeah, there's a problem here. But to be called a hate group and to have people protest over it, I think is ridiculous. But I will say this, amen to everything these brothers said, especially what Adan said about the formulation of an identity, I think is amazing. Now, I don't know, and I don't really care to some degree if they are like if their platforms lend to some sort of great movement, because I don't look for my celebrities to right. do that for us or for me. But what I will say is I'm excited that it's happening. Even if it's like you said, the one thing I will agree, and I'm not saying you're saying this, is that it's almost expected that there's some sort of Black power posture that you're going to see. Black power, Black consciousness, better yet. There's going to be some Black consciousness posture and some sort of media outlet or media platform, whether it's musical, it's art, it's acting, and some of it may be because now Black consciousness is marketable.
That was my point.
And I don't have a problem with it, it only because I see it as a Genesis situation with you meant for evil, God meant for good, right?
Sure.
And I think it's necessary. So I see it as, even though some people, it's like the gospel, like when people see in Philippians where he says, hey, some preach for false pretense, others preach out of good motive, but mm-hmm. as long as it's preached, you know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? And I'm not making this, I'm not trying to say it's the gospel, but I think it's very important if you're yeah. forming identities in people, even if they're doing it for the purposes because it's marketable now, mm-hmm. or if they're going to do it when it's not fashionable and it's not marketable, yeah. as long as people are formulating identities positively for the maturation of those folks, like he said, the little boy who's rubbing on the head of Obama because he's like, man, this is a new paradigm and worldview that I've never been exposed to. And if people like Kendrick and Beyonce are going to yield their platforms for that, I applaud it.
Another thing I was thinking about too, just with the Beyonce performance, even some of the lyrics, it's not the quote unquote,
it's not Black, at all.
It's not the Blackness that we've had to, that we could present in years past. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that mm-hmm. acceptable Blackness. When she's talking about hot sauce out the bag swag.
Yeah.
Like I went on stage and like, I remember talking about, no one knew what they was talking about. I was yeah. like, that's some auntie stuff.
It is.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, that's not the Blackness that like has been on TV. Right. That's not the Black, like that's the Blackness that like, you have to be initiated into, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like you have to, it hadn't been the one we was like, we'll give them this and we'll keep this for ourselves.
Yeah.
This is the one that like, yeah, this is the one we've kept to ourselves. And now Beyonce.
She letting out some secrets.
She's letting out some secrets and then forcing people to like, kind of like, what's that about? What is, you know what I mean? Like, what does that mean?
And I think even like her asserting like, you know, Blue Ivy's hair, right? Her saying like I like my baby's hair with baby hair and afros, you know what I'm saying? Or even saying I like my Negro's nose with Jackson 5 yeah. nostrils. Yeah. Like these are things that are like inherently saying like, no, I want you to, I'm going to affirm your features. I'm going to affirm the very things that that are looked down upon or detracted or that you feel some type of complex about growing up. And I think that that's really, I think that that's really powerful when the most powerful person in popular music, right, is doing that. Yes. I think that's important to say.
I think I may be maybe in a Bayhive in a minute. That's all I'm saying.
I just want to say, I think it actually is creating change. And because you follow money, that's what money changes things. Yeah. And so I do think in that sense it is marketable, which is why. Which was the thought in the back of my mind. Of course, they're going to do this because the Grammys want people to tweet about this moment. They want people to talk about it because that'll create more traction for them. But outside of that, I hope this doesn't come across as cheesy.
It is.
No, you
wouldn't. Don't say it.
Say it.
I'm just playing. What I love about I just what's happening.
Hurry up and open these halls.
I do too. Sorry, guys.
What I love about this is. I think for the longest time, like what Kendrick and Beyonce have done is force people to make a decision. Because I think for the longest time, like black culture existed for those that were in its grasp or in its radius of influence, but there was a lot of people that could have ignored the majority of black culture. And this is causing people to have to take the race, their subconscious racism now has to come. If they say, if they watch Beyonce's performance or watch Kendrick's thing and say, and they're offended by it, it's a good thing that they're having now to come to terms with. Now they have to decide what they're going to do with that. What are they going to do with
the
fact that
they can't be passive?
Yeah, they can't. They can't just. They can't live their life in a passive racist stance. Now they have to say, okay, I clearly have these indications of racism. We all do, but now what am I going to do with them? Am I going to continue to like not understand this or be offended by it, or am I going to try to understand what the original motivation of the black power movement was, and so on and so forth? And the flip side of this is that what I also love is what y'all talked about. I'm proud to know you guys. And I'm proud to, like, y'all's pride in your culture is something that I very much respect. And seeing this is, like, in mass culture, I'm excited because I'm seeing that same pride come to fruition. And it's easier for me to, as I'm having conversations with white friends and white family that really has had no touch points with African American culture, that pride and that good pride and that it's easier to help me explain, like, just watch this performance, because this man is proud of who he is and where he comes from, and he has a hopeful view of where his people are going. And I think that's something that we haven't had since maybe Dr. King. I mean, in a sense of, we are going like an unrelenting wave that you cannot ignore. I mean, because I think there's, I don't mean to detract from men that have done great things in the last 50 years, but they were ignorable to an extent.
Oh yeah. Because I was going to say the three things that I've seen, some of the blackest things that have happened in the past couple weeks, the Super Bowl, the Grammys, and to a lesser extent, but still very prominent culture, SNL, like the SNL sketch was so, like, I didn't think SNL would put anything like that. I was like, Lorne Michaels, you must have been sleeping at the wheel, because the depths of that sketch, and like the sets, it was so sharp.
Yeah,
you know,
and even Cam. I mean, even to an extent, me and David disagreed on this to some extent, but like even Cam Newton and that whole thing is forced. Like, it's still that there's very much this.
I think what's happening,
come to terms.
Yeah, and so. Subconsciously was happening. I don't think there's been the black delegation. We haven't had a conference or anything like that to discuss this.
Check your email though.
I will. Yeah. I've been waiting for this, but I think I may have to
for our emails.
I think I may have to convene this. Yeah. I think what's happened is such subconsciously is black people, the black population is waking up to the power of their dollar. And I think what's also happening is those who are the creators of product are starting to realize, I don't have to make product for the mass audiences to make money or to be popular.
Yeah.
I can speak to my particular silos of people and still have success. Mm-hmm. Because even when I talk to you as a Kendrick, even as I create To Pimp a Butterfly, the outsiders, the spectators are still going to, they're still being voyeurs into our culture, and they're still going to enjoy it. So when you go to the Kendrick Lamar concert, when it was here in Atlanta, it was still about 50-50. It was still like 50 white folks, 50 black, right? Mm-hmm. Just, you know, generalization. And those songs are very conscious, heavy towards African-American culture, right? And so what I think what's happening is you see the Cam Newton's unapologetically saying, look, I come from a particular culture that enjoys dancing. I enjoy this guy. And look, and I don't know where we had this conversation. Doesn't mean that he's more black than Russell Wilson.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But it just means that he's, the culture from which he comes from is starting to have its say, and it's unapologetic in a sense that, hey, I don't need to appease the culture of people who wants me to look and dance and perform a certain way. Yeah. I will say there have been people who've done it and done it excellently in the past, and I think Spike Lee was one of those people in the late 80s and 90s with his films. Mm-hmm. He was like, look, I'm making movies not only just for black people, but black people potentially, like, even a more narrow view, like New Yorkish type of black folk. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And so and I think he kind of showed that you can have success speaking to a particular audience, and people who appreciate the art will still view it, and it'd be very black conscious heavy.
I want to make a statement that was at Creative Conversations this past week that I've heard it a few times now, and I agree with it, but I want to hear what y'all think. That before, in the past, being quote unquote the angry black man was allowed you to be dismissed. I think now it's, yes, I'm angry, and I should be. There's no longer the dismissive nature when it's like, I'm an angry black man, and I'm angry about it. Like, I think that, do you guys agree that there's a level of, like, whether it be understanding because of the Black Lives Matter movement, that the level of, like, frustration is now becoming acceptable and no longer a point of, like, dismissing you as frustrated black men?
I wasn't at, I made the cardinal sin of not being at Creative Conversation.
Yeah, you're a jerk.
You know what I mean? So I won't let that happen again. And anyone shout out to who's Shobaraki in the greater Atlanta area, y'all should never let that happen again. Y'all should be there next time that it's
shout
done.
Out to the fact that we didn't have a comedian or a poet at this Creative Conversation.
It was still great, though.
It was, though.
That being said, I don't know the context that statement was made. Offhand, I don't think I agree with it.
Okay.
I still feel the weight of trying to communicate something in a way that does not allow me to be written off by majority culture when I'm airing a grievance, right? Now, that being said, sometimes I might air a grievance and just say, you know, to damn however people feel about it, like, I'm just going to air the grievance. I might get pigeonholed as the angry black man.
Yeah, because Dark Matters was pretty frustrating.
But that's the thing, right? So I don't think of that as an anger piece. I think of that as let me make this situation so very real for who the listener is, so that the listener can be put in the shoes of me, right? I think that's I think what Alex does on that song is angry. I think his verse is angry. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, yeah. I guess, like, I didn't really...
The other angry white guy.
Right. But I think, and to me, that was one of the thoughts, is to be like, yo, Alex might have the luxury to be angry. Alex can curse at the first verse in the song and be like, you know, like, I'm upset about this. I'm tired of it. You know, I'm like, he can do that. My thing is, no, I'm going to tell you a story. And hopefully in the story, you might understand.
And maybe this, I interpret it that way because I'm angry for you and listening to the story.
Got you. But all that is to say that I just think that my personal feeling of it is that I don't necessarily feel, I think that there are white people who are more piqued interest right now to listen and be like, man, I want to hear these, you know, like these complaints. Like, when you see, whatchamacallit, Laquan McDonald get shot 16 times in the street, Mm-hmm. At some point, you just go, all right, like,
what is this?
Yeah, like, all right, you know, I feel some type of way about Obama, but that's crazy. You know what I'm saying? No 16-year-old kid should be shot that many. You know what I mean? Like, something's wrong here. Walter Scott shot in his back. Like, these things that are like beyond this video evidence where it's like, yo, this is like, what do we have to do to prove that this is like beyond a shadow? Like what could someone have done wrong that warranted this? And I think that there are people who are just like, hey, I might need to just open myself up a little bit more to hear the anger and the frustration that might be coming out of the mouths of black men or black women about this. But I think that there's just as many people who double down in those situations and in those circumstances who are like, yeah, I mean, I don't feel that burden off of me, but that's my take. Yeah, I don't know. No. Show and
Dave. Yeah, do you think I didn't represent what Kareem was saying?
I don't really remember what he said, to tell you the truth.
He just said, someone made the statement like, you sound like an angry black man. And he was like, I am an angry black man. Right. Basically.
I think if I can remember, I think what he was saying is not feeling the shame of feeling like the angry black
man.
Okay. And I don't think anybody in this room would disagree with that. It's no, there's no shame in feeling like and championing that. Like, yeah, I think it takes a special type of person to be able to still communicate how they feel in that anger, right? Mm-hmm. Without,
and that's been even a theme on Fourth because of the Macklemore piece that Marcus wrote. He kind of expressed, "I am angry. I am frustrated." And this is why I don't like this song. And then,
so part of my issue with some of that, and to be fair, I didn't read Marcus's piece, but I think I understand the gist of what he was saying. In some senses, this is where the black anger can, I think we got to be careful, is because we petition for our white brothers who are allies to speak for us on our behalf.
Right.
Then when they do, we're mad that they do and they get recognized. And it's like, well, we've been saying this for 13 years. Right. Now you're going to listen to us because a white dude, you know. And it's like, come on. Like, at some point we got to be like, now, it was somewhat.
I want it all. They got to deal with it. Yeah. I don't know why you brought that up, so. Look, I want them to take my grievances and tell the other white folks. But when they get recognized, nah, that's wrong.
The thing that I do have a problem with is our causes, and I don't know if he communicated this, which I don't think he did. I don't like our. I'm very, very, very cautious of white liberals of co-opting our causes for their own agenda, and I do feel like oftentimes people like Macklemore can do that, and that's where I'm like, it's very beneficial. It's advantageous. It's business opportunity. They create a lot of things, but once again, as I said earlier, if they're not against us, they're for us. So, but I do. I keep my eye on the system. That's what I keep my eye on the system.
Sure. It's time for the conquerors. Oh, it's my turn. Excuse me, the monster's up. Foe slaying, cruising in this monster truck. It's no playing, giving bruises in this Tonka truck. My circle's where the riders is. A couple Paul and Silas is and Leonidas is. Kind of sickening how bold this virus is. No sniffling, but so cold like sinuses. Make room for the misses, the crew full of misfits. Peruse your policies and hack through ISIS. The truth to embassy, sneak food to your listeners. Pilots, provisioners, and suicide bombers. Musical monsters, martyrs, quick to die for resigner. Yeah, this is our moment. We're facing our fear, cause faith has appeared. So baby, we'll take it from here.